the flesh are obvious. Some would say that was something of an understatement on Paul's part. The works of the flesh are obvious. And now he goes through that list of the works of the flesh. But I want to tell you, going out the gate, it's not a complete list, as he himself admits. And I myself can think up some extra ones too, but let's look at what he says to begin with. Fornication. Right there he begins with one of the ones that the church just loves to beat on, doesn't it? Fornication, impurity, licentiousness. That one just sounds sexy right there, man. Licentiousness. If you say it like a southerner, it sounds even worse. Licentiousness. Idolatry. Sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, angers, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. What a list. What a list. When we could get tied up, we probably will get tied up, looking at these works of the flesh. He calls them the works of the flesh. The Greek word flesh is sarx. Sarx means tissue, flesh, body, flesh, physical life, physical living. It's the works of the me, myself, and I. The works that we do, heaping upon ourselves what we want to do. The works of the flesh. The works of the me, myself, and I. It's essentially a message about sin. Now, I know that's a word that we don't like to talk about much these days. Sin. First of all, we hear too many other people talking about that word. Bunch of sinners. Yep. Yep. You ever thought about that word, sin? This works great in English. It doesn't work in any other language that I know of. But in the word sin, you have three nice little letters, S, I, and N. Sin. In other words, in the middle of sin stands I. That's true for all sin, no matter what it is. Sin is not the things that we do. It's whom we place in importance. It's the person that we place in the center of our living. Sin is not the things that we do, it's to whom we are focused and whom we are serving. Are we serving God? Are we serving our fellow human being? Or are we serving ourselves? That's the very essence of the nature of sin. The big I in the middle. It can be illustrated beautifully by that Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. Ugh. I love some of his music, but that one makes me want to puke. Ugh. I did it my way. If I did it all my way, I'd be in real big trouble. And I suspect we all would be. The Greek word for sin is the word harmartia, harmartia. And it's an archery word. It's used of an archer who stands up with his bow and his arrow, and he pulls back to fire at the target. When he lets go, if the arrow misses the target, he has committed harmartia. He's fallen short. He's missed the mark. He's failed to do what his objective was, which was to hit the target. And Greek uses that word for sin. When we miss the mark of what God has for us, when we miss the mark of what it means to be a member of the body of Christ, when we miss the mark of what Jesus calls us to do, we have committed harmartia. We have sinned. We have thrown ourselves, as I sometimes like to say, headlong and feet first into the works of the flesh. You ever watched a diver going off the board and they get up in the air? And I don't know how they do this. Well, you have to have a certain shape to be able to do it. And I have the other shape for a cannonball. But they can go and they touch their feet to their toes in mid-flight, kind of like that, right into the works of the flesh, we go when we place ourselves in the center of our existence. And if you look at this list of the works of the flesh, you'll see that every single one of these, without exception, involves placing yourself first. Huh? Yeah, absolutely. Fornication. Now, we give that word a lot of going around in this day and age. It's usually misunderstood. The Greek word is porneia, from which we get the word pornography. Huh. And what it means in the ancient world was prostitution. It had other meanings too, sexual immorality. It was a favorite word, though. It was thrown around quite a lot. And it really means misorienting yourself in your relationships, engaging in intimacies beyond the boundaries that God has set for you. And that's an individual determination, friends. That's an individual one, trust me. That's true in any marriage, in any family, in any relationship. You, your partner, and God determine those boundaries. Porneia, fornication, is leaping outside of them. And you do it for one reason and one reason alone, to gratify yourself. Impurity. I got a mosquito bite this week. Bugged the heck out of me. I scratched and scratched and scratched and scratched, and it opened up and it bled, and it let it heal, and then it started itching again, and I scratched and scratched and scratched, and it bleed again. In the ancient world, that would make me impure and unworthy to stand here and preach, and unworthy and an imperfect person to stand behind that table and celebrate Holy Communion, which should serve as an illustration that, quite frankly, none of us are worthy by any characteristic of our own to preach the Word of God, to serve God, to be God's children, or to stand at the table of the Lord and serve or receive. But God makes us worthy by His grace. Now, last week, I elicited the A word, the amen word. And that one deserves an amen. We are unworthy by our own nature of proclaiming the word of God. We are impure. But God makes us worthy by His grace. Amen. That was lukewarm. I don't think you believe it. We are impure. The things of this life scratch us and make us bleed. But God makes us pure by His grace. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe you're starting to believe it. Licentiousness. I said that sounded sexy, didn't it? And it does. And it literally means to lavish yourself and wallow in the impurities, to wallow in the fornication, to wallow in and enjoy and have great fun being in the middle of sin. It means to just go whole hog for it. Idolatry. Now, we think about that one. We think, oh, we don't have other gods. We don't worship Zeus in our culture. We don't have Jupiter to worship, with Athena and Aphrodite and all those other gods and goddesses of the ancient world. What about God Dollar? What about God Golf? What about God Football? The Church of the Holy Touchdown? What about God Computer? I just stomped on my toes. God iPhone? Idolatry is placing anything before God. Anything. Including church and family. Some people even worship the Bible before God. Idolatry, placing anything before God. And usually it means placing the self before God. Sorcery. The Greek word is pharmakia, from which we get pharmaceuticals and pharmacology, drugs. the use of chemicals to control people and yourself. Enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions. Sounds like annual conference and general conference, a bunch of clergy getting together to me. Envy. Nothing worse than a bunch of preachers getting together and bragging about their churches. Oh, we got this budget. Oh, we've got this many people in worship. Oh, we've got this wonderful youth group. I wish I had that budget. I wish I had that church. And I wish I had that wonderful youth group. And that just generates envy. Church likes to roost on those first few because they're nice, racy, and sexy. But then they kind of mumble the rest of these. Strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, and envy. These usually occur when the self and the desire of the self is in charge. Every one of these. Even the last one. The last few. I missed one. Drunkenness. Woo-hoo. Drunkenness and carousing. Party! And things like these. All of these have the self, the I, the me, the mine, in the middle of it. How do you get over it? How do you get around it? How do you bypass it? How do you overcome the works of the flesh? How do you navigate your way, negotiate your way, see your way clear to getting out of the works of the flesh? Because, my friends, there is nothing that you and I can do. We can beat on ourselves, we can cut on ourselves, we can try to change ourselves, we can try to transform ourselves, but we can't do it. There's only one way to negotiate yourself out of this, and that's by faith in Jesus Christ. And we see that here. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, if the works of the flesh are governed by I, me, myself, and mine, being in the center of it, the fruit of the Spirit is governed by God being in the center of it, by others, by our service to others being in the center of it. Take a look at the list. Love. Now, the Greek word for love is agape. There are more than three words in Greek for love, but the three words that are used in the Bible are eros, meaning sex, phileo, meaning friendship, and agape, meaning divine love, the love that comes from God, the love that loves because the lover needs love, and the one who loves, it's his nature or her nature to love. The best definition of agape I've ever heard is to consider the needs of another as more important than your own. To consider the needs of another as more important than your own. That's exactly what Jesus did when he came and was incarnate in human flesh and lived among us and taught us and showed us how much God loves us by standing in our place and taking the penalty for sin that we deserve. Yes, my friends, that's divine love. That's agape. That's placing the needs of another ahead of your own. The I can't be in the middle of that, friends. It's the other. It's God. Love, joy, rejoicing in the presence of God, rejoicing in the presence of others. True joy comes from God and from being with others, not from sex and money, friends, but from God and others, being in the real presence of Jesus, partaking of the means of grace. Peace. That word means the end of againstness, the end of conflict, the end of division with God. Notice, the self isn't in that, it's God in relationship with others. Patience. To be truly patient, the I cannot be in the middle of your existence. Patience means that others come first. God comes first. Not you, not the self, not I, but God and others. Kindness. Now, that's a good Southern word, actually. It's a good Elizabethan English word. When you go to the hospital and you want to see someone, the first thing they'll ask you is, are you next of kin? Kin is a good old English word, a good Southern word, and it means relative, loved one, member of the family. And when they said, be kind to one another, it meant treat each other as family. Kindness means treating others as family. And if the I is in the middle of your life, you don't do that. Only if God and others are in the middle of the life of your life are you truly kind to one another. Generosity. If you're giving, you're not in the center of your existence. Others and God are. Faithfulness. To be truly faithful means you trust in others. You trust in God. You trust in your fellow believers. Yourself isn't in the middle there. Gentleness. To be gentle means that you don't come first. Others do. Self-control. Paul just makes it difficult, friends. Self-control. When you live alone, as I do, you can stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning reading. You don't have an argument with yourself as to where you're going to go eat dinner. I don't know, where do you want to go? I don't know, where do you want to go? If you start doing that, y'all will be sending me off to Terrell pretty soon. Self-control means God is in the center of your life, and self-control flows due to the presence of God. The works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit are contrary to each other, and they fight with each other, and they conflict with each other. And you're never going to see, not in this life, all of the fruit of the Spirit governing. Sometimes the works of the flesh will be there. And all we have to do is open ourselves to God's grace, open ourselves to His real presence in the many means of grace, in the Scripture proclaimed, in the prayers that we pray, in the fellowship that we have together, in the sacrament of Holy Communion, in participating in the life of the body of Christ. We open ourselves to God's grace, and He grows. God grows. The Holy Spirit grows. Jesus grows in us, the fruit of the Spirit. So give thanks and praise to God that we can't change ourselves. God changes us. We can't grow the fruit of the Spirit. God's grace, God's presence will. We, if left to our own devices, will be in the center. God calls us to place others and Jesus first.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2007 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.